All right, amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you so much, and we're so grateful to be here, Lord, and to worship you in spirit and in truth. I thank you for my brothers and sisters that have gathered here and those listening online. We just want to present ourselves to you, Lord, and say, here we are. We're yours, Lord. I pray for each one of us now. We just take this time to surrender anything that is in our heart that's not of you, Lord, any worry, any care and concern for the things of the world, any persecution because of the word. It's anything that might steal the seed or choke the seed. I pray, Lord, that now we just surrender that to you, and may we be a open canvas, a blank slate for you to bring forth your truth to our hearts, Lord, the transforming truth. And we pray that you would do that by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord. Literally transform us by the renewing of our minds. Let us go from here as different people, Lord. And we believe in the power of your word. And so do that work, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, can you say hi to someone before you sit down? All right, everybody, come on in. Have a seat. All right. Go ahead and grab your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. And we're going to pick it up in verse 23. The theme of chapter 11 is very obvious. You see this phrase, by faith, all throughout this chapter. So this is the writer of the Hebrews teaching us how to walk by faith, what it looks like to walk by faith. The reason he's doing that, if you recall, is that the recipients of this letter were struggling with the freedom of walking by faith. As persecution had come to their lives because of the word of God, they had a tendency to want to go back into the religious systems. Here, particularly, it was Judaism. So they are struggling in the sense of going back to what was comfortable for them, was familiar with them, instead of pressing forward into faith and in the things that God had for them moving forward. So that was their struggle. And so in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, the writer here has finally gotten to the point where he's getting to where he really wanted to go, and that's to live and walk by faith. And he's telling them, this is what it looks like. And here's the examples, even from the Old Testament. Sometimes we have a tendency to think Old Testament guys had a different way of salvation than New Testament guys. And that's simply not true. The Old Testament guys look forward to the cross. We look back to the cross. But it was always about the cross. And in fact, in the book of Hebrews, it says the volume of the book was written about me, Jesus. Meaning the whole book is written really about Jesus, about the gospel, about redemption. All those things in the Old Testament were pointing to or shadowing the reality, the substance that was Christ to come. And so to walk by faith, that's an interesting challenge that God has for us. And I mentioned last time we were in the book that as I started to think about this and meditate upon the theme of this, walking by faith, I just realized that the greatest things that ever happened to me in my life were those times where I stepped out in faith. But I will say they were some of the hardest things as well. But that's the life we're to live. We're to live by faith. The first verse of this chapter, it says that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And that's the definition that he gives us of faith. And what that means is faith is being able to see beyond the material. It's actually a greater vision, greater sight, because it looks at, say, like the world, the material world, the world that we live in, that we experience with our five senses. That's how we interact with the world. Faith looks at that and looks beyond that and says, well, those things had to be made by someone, and that's God. So faith is actually a bigger view. It gives us a bigger view. It's how we see things and understand things. It's how we understand that the worlds were framed and made by God, that there's a designer. And so it's a eternal perspective is what it is. It's seeing beyond the temporary, beyond the here and now. It's seeing a bigger picture. It's seeing God in all the events in the world and his sovereignty and understanding that he has a plan and a purpose. That's what faith is. Faith is being able to see that. As we go through the Bible, we understand that even in the Old Testament, the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 4, it says that the just shall live by faith. In other words, it would be by faith, not by works, that one would be made right with God. Abraham, the father of faith, the father of the nation of Israel, who was given the promises in Genesis 12:3, he was this person that God had raised up, and it says about him that he believed God and is accounted to him as righteousness. So it was always by faith. It was never by works that we were going to be saved. So then one might say, well, why is there all these laws and things to do in the Old Testament? What are those there for? Well, that is true. Those are there. And the purpose of those laws is to demonstrate and show to us that as human beings, we are unable to meet the requirements of the law. So the law was actually meant to be a teacher for us. To teach us what? To teach us that we can't be right with God on our own. To teach us that we needed a substitute. To teach us that we needed a replacement. And that replacement, that substitute, would have to be one who is sinless. One who is perfect, because he would have to take our place in judgment in order to offer to us the freedom from sin and the cleansing from sin and the righteousness that comes from God. So this theme we see running through the whole Bible is a theme of faith, and it's the theme of being made right with God through faith, not by works. And then as we get to chapter 11, we see now this explanation and these examples of what it looks like to walk by faith. A couple of things that we're going to find is faith. James talks about this too. Faith ends up in action. So faith isn't just an intellectual, mental acknowledgement of God. Faith ends up, if we truly have faith, we do something. So there's a lot of action. So faith is how we live our life in action in the things that we do. And those things demonstrate that we have faith. So although works don't save us, works demonstrate that we are saved. So one who's truly saved, the Bible says that's called being born again. That person is a new person. They understand things in a different way. They look at things in a different way. They have a relationship with God. They've been filled with the Holy Spirit. Their sins have been washed away once and for all. Their name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And so that person, as they live their life in this fallen world, then they live it differently. And that's really the whole point of the chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews is this is what it looks like when people walk by faith. It's different. The people do different things. They choose different things. They act different ways. And that's because their faith is seen beyond their life in this world. They're seeing a bigger picture, the understanding the eternal nature of things. And that's how they're living their life. And so we sort of ended off last time looking at just some of the different people like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and people like that, and the different things that they did. And what was notable is they were all, I don't know, kind of messed up. You know, they weren't like these, you know, people with halos on their head like we want to picture them. They're people who made a lot of bad mistakes. And they're in this chapter as an acknowledgement of that God uses messed up people to bring about great things in his kingdom. And so we can look at this and we say, oh, they're in the hall of faith. That it's not that the Bible doesn't say that, but people have coined it that, the hall of faith or whatever. And you have all these people, by faith they did this, and by faith they did that. And then you start looking into their lives a little bit, and you're like, wow, they did a lot of really not so great things. And then, but God is just recognizing them here as the things that they did by faith. Isn't that interesting? So God views us if as believers in Christ, and as we're in Christ, he sees the things that we do by faith. Those are the things that he acknowledges. And that's encouraging because we all know, we look at the great exploits of some of these people that are mentioned in the Hall of Faith in Hebrews chapter 11, and we sort of put them in a separate category of just they're untouchable, you know, they're saints or whatever. The Bible it really works hard to get us to understand that that's not the case in any of them. Some are better than others, but the point is, God uses messed up, weak people to do great things, but it's only by faith that that happens. It's by faith that that happens. And so what we have to consider as we start to get into this chapter is, are we walking by faith? This is something we really have to consider, because in our circles, people like us that are saved and go to church and stuff like that, we read our Bibles, it's very easy to replace things of duty for things of faith. In other words, to replace stepping out in faith and just say, I'm good because I go to church. And going to church obviously is what God has called us to do. We're supposed to do that. And it is by faith that we do that. But the point is God calling us to step out in faith in any other area? And this is the life that he has for a believer. Believers are to picture their life as those people who walk by faith, which means we're stepping out in things that God is calling us to do. As God calls us to do things, usually the things that he calls us to do are either things we don't want to do or things we don't think we can do. That's a sign that it might be God calling you to step out in faith. But when we do, because then when we're stepping out of faith, we realize we can only do this if God's going to go with us. And that was the theme of the people in the Old Testament too. Okay, God, I'll go do it, but you better go with me. Okay, I'll go with you. Okay, I'll do it then. Is that acknowledgement, the realization of, if God is calling me to do this and I do it and I take that step of faith, that's where he meets us. That's where it gets really exciting to be a Christian. That's where it gets really exciting to watch God work through us. For example, just some of the people that went down to San Antonio a couple weeks ago or last week, hearing some of the stories and understanding some of the things that they did down there, I think they would tell you that they step out on faith by going on the trip and did not even realize how powerful it was that God was going to work in them and through them as they stepped out in faith. So that's how it works. What happens if we don't step out in faith? What happens if we just get into this circular routine of, you know, we just do the same thing? Like, we haven't done anything different in the last 5 or 10 years. We just have this routine. Well, we have a tendency to get bored. We have a tendency to get in a place where we have it dialed in on how to do it. So we don't feel the sense of need for the Lord as much as we do, as we should. Because we got it. We do it every week. It's the same routine, the same thing. And we've set things up to where it's just like a machine. When we get to that place, what I found in my life, and I believe it's pretty common, and probably for yours too, God's going to shake something up. Because he doesn't want us to be like that. He doesn't want us to be creatures of habit, people of routine. He wants us to step out in faith. Because when we do, what does that do? It stirs up our faith. It stirs up the power of God working in us. It puts the emphasis on what God can do instead of what we've gotten used to doing. And so be very careful when you get into this creature of habit routine where you can go through the motions as a Christian and do things and not even think about it, sort of subconscious. You know, like when you wake up in the morning and you can go through your whole morning routine without even thinking about it. You probably can. I bet you can. You've been doing it your whole life. And you get up and you have your coffee and you take your shower and hopefully, and then you brush your teeth and eat your bread, whatever you do. And you go through the whole thing. You can not even be conscious of anything. You could sleepwalk and do that. But that's what happens to us as Christians when we get into this habit and this routine and we go through the motions. And then all of a sudden, there's not the dynamic of the Holy Spirit. There's not the power of the Holy Spirit. There's not this awe and wonder of God working in a way where we know that we can never work. So as we get into this, be thinking about that. Is God calling me to do, has he called me to do something that I haven't done? Or how about this? This is the prayer that I prayed on a Wednesday night before God called me the next morning, unbeknownst to me, to move out here to plant this church. God was telling me to pray like Peter, that God would command him to get out of the boat. So if you remember that story with Peter walking on water, it's interesting because he didn't just do it. He wanted to do it, but he asked God to command him because he knew if God commanded him, then he could do it. So how about this? How about we ask God to command us to get out of the boat, to do something crazy? Not weird crazy. Something just that we never thought that he would do in our life. I mean, it was pretty crazy what Peter did, walk on water. But see, just ask God, say, God, command me to get out of my boat. It's very comfortable in here, and it's very safe. The structure around me is very nice and tidy. It's predictable. How about you say, hey, God, command me to get out of the boat. And do you remember what happened when he got out of the boat? Walked on water because his eyes were on Jesus and he had faith. You know, when he sank, he got his eyes off Jesus and he looked at the waves and he got scared and he lost his faith and he sank. But it's okay because God picked him up. And I think God honored the fact that he stepped out in faith. In fact, he was the only one that did it. The only one recorded that's ever really walked on water. So God rewards our faith. So pray that God would just burden you with something to step out in faith. So just think about that as we get into this chapter. So we're going to pick it up in verse 23 of chapter 11. And the spotlight goes on to Moses now. It says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw that he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. So here's our first example tonight, Moses. It's really not his faith that's being talked about here, is it? Moses was barely born. The Pharaoh of Egypt saw the children of Israel as a threat because they were having a lot of babies, more babies than the Egyptian women. And so Pharaoh said, hey, we can't have this. So basically, he told the midwives to kill all of the babies, the Jewish babies that are born. And so Moses, his parents, they exercised their faith. And they said, you know, that's not going to happen. So their faith was, as they saw their child, it says he was a beautiful child. So did they think he looked good, so they decided to save him? Not really what that meant. I think every parent thinks their baby's beautiful. It means that they saw that he had some sort of favor on him by God. But I mean, that can be applied. You know, God has favor on every child that's born. But it's noted here that they noticed, they looked at their baby, and they said, this is a creation of God. They looked at their baby and they said, this is not the will of God, that our baby would be killed. And so they put him in a little raft and put him in the river. But the reason they did that, and notice the action that was involved, it took faith for them to do that. That was something very threatening to them. They went against the command of the Pharaoh. They went against the power, the hierarchy. They went again, and they did that at the threat of their own life. And as they did that, as they acted in faith, they did that because they realized and knew that that's not the will of God. And the will of God is always above the edict of man. And so, because they did that, it says they weren't afraid of the king's command. So isn't that interesting? Because it was faith, their faith overcame their fear. So that's something we have to really realize too. Fear is not of the Lord. So a lot of us can get stuck in this pattern of fear as well. That's one of the biggest reasons we don't step out in faith. Because our natural self will start to say, well, if you step out in faith, then this might happen and that might happen. And we start to say, well, you know, maybe I shouldn't do that. And we start to talk ourselves out of it. But the Bible tells us that God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. It means that when we're walking with the Lord and we step out in faith, we should not fear anything. And this was the case here, that they didn't let their fear overcome them, but they are in a situation where they had to face their fear, but they didn't just face their fear, they put faith in their fear, and their faith overcame their fear. That's how it works. And so then it says, so that was the faith of Moses' parents. This shows you the power of the faith of parents, the power of faith of praying parents, the power and the blessing in a household that it is when there are parents of faith in a household that are living their life by faith. They are an example to those children. And the Bible tells us to train up your child in the way that they shall go. And when they get older, they shall return to that. Well, it's teaching them and exemplifying to them to walk by faith. And some of you may be here tonight and you have a child that's not walking by faith. And I just want to tell you, just rest assured, if you've implanted the word and exemplified faith in your child, they will return to that. I believe that with my whole heart. So embrace that and know that they're going to come back one day. One day they're coming back. They may not be there now, but one day they're coming back. And that's living by faith, because living by faith is trusting in God's word. It's seeing that already, not just seeing the situation, but it's seeing them come back. It's seeing the prodigal run home. Faith is seeing that and then acting like that. They're going to come back. I know they're going to come back. So that's the faith of his parents. But Moses had faith too. In verse 24, it says, by faith, Moses. Now, it's interesting. How would Moses have faith as he got older? Because when he was a baby, he was put in a river on a raft. So when he was on a river in a raft, Pharaoh's daughter came and found him, heard a baby crying, and took him up. So now all of a sudden, he's the Pharaoh's daughter's son. She took him. But yet, they needed someone to take care of him. And as God would have it, they hired Moses' mom, unbeknownst to them, to take care of him. So she got to take care of him when he was young, even though at this point it was Pharaoh's daughter's son. She adopted him. But the whole time, and I believe, as she would take care of him, as he would be looked at as an Egyptian, as part of Pharaoh's household, as she would teach him the things about the Lord when he is young and when he is growing up. And as she would teach him these things about the Lord, and then he would contrast that with the things of the world, the things of his own household in Egypt, the things in Pharaoh's house, the things that he saw in regards to their religion. And as he grew up, he would remember those words of his mother that were taught to him about this one true God. No doubt she would have taught him about the stories of Abraham and Isaac and all those things. And she would have taught him about the things that the goodness and the righteousness of God. And as he grew up, he was able to see the difference. That's why in verse 24, I would read that and I say, it says by faith Moses did something, but I'm thinking to myself, how would Moses do things by faith if he has just lived in Potiphar's house? But I really believe it's because his mom was raising him and would give him the truth of the one true God. So then it says, by faith Moses, when he came of age, when he got older, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Isn't that amazing? So he's in Pharaoh's household. Some believe, Josephus, the historian, writes that, and the Bible doesn't tell us this, we don't know this for sure, but that he would have been next in line to take Pharaoh's place when Pharaoh passed away. Some believe he would be second in line. We don't know, but he was the son of the Pharaoh. He's very high up. It would have been very high up. He was raised in this household of opulence, power, everything that he could have wanted. But when he got older, he refused it. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Can you think about how radical that is? What a step of faith. When he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, what he was doing is he's saying, I'm not going to be identified in that way. My identity is not in that. He's saying, my identity is in the one true God. He gave up power, position, wealth, everything that the world can offer to a person. He refused it. He refused to be identified with the things of the world. And it says in verse 25, instead, he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. So his decision to refuse to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter wasn't just like, you refuse that and then it's just like normal. By refusing that, he actually embraced something else. By refusing to associate and identify with Pharaoh, which would be to identify with the things of the world, to give all that up, at the same time, he would choose to identify with the hated people. He would choose to identify and to suffer affliction with the people of God. He chose that. So how does one make that decision? One makes that decision because by faith, they're seeing beyond that. By faith, they're seeing their eternity somewhere. By faith, they're understanding that their life in this world and the things that this world can give one are short-lived and can only cause harm to a person spiritually and in their relationship with God. And so on the surface, it looks like, what a dumb choice. But if you have faith, that's not a dumb choice. If you have faith, it would be dumb to choose to give up your eternity for a short time of having some stuff that you get tired of. See how faith gives us a different understanding, a different viewpoint. So it was his faith that caused him to do that. to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. His faith told him that sin is tempting and its temptation is the pleasure of it. So there is pleasure in sin. The Bible tells us that there's pleasure in sin for a season. And that's, I mean, it makes sense. If you're going to go fishing, you wouldn't put out bait that the fish hate. You're going to put out bait that the fish like. So the bait that Satan puts on his hook to catch us is the pleasure that sin offers. But there's always a hook to it. There's always a hook to the pleasure that sin offers. And once we bite in to that pleasure of sin, then we're hooked. What happens when we're hooked? For you fishermen and women, what happens? Start getting reeled in. Start getting reeled in. That's what sin does. But see, it was faith that helped Moses see beyond those things, so that giving up the passing pleasure of sin that he was able to do, it was a smart and wise decision because he was understanding that there's a bigger picture than what he is talking about. And so in verse 26, it says he esteemed the reproach of Christ. That means the insults that come from associating with Christ as greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. Now here's something interesting. He said that Moses esteemed the reproaches of Christ. So Moses must have had some idea about Christ, about a Messiah. It was by faith that he was able to understand the insults that he would have that would come to him. He would understand that the insults are coming to Christ, even in the Old Testament. This is the guy that wrote the Ten Commandments, the law. And here it is. It says that he understood something about Christ. He understood the insults that he had. He would see them as a badge of honor. You see that? He would see them as a trophy. When you're insulted for Christ, Moses would say, when you're insulting me, you're doing that because I represent Christ. That blows me away that Moses is representing Christ. Moses is the law guy. He's the law guy. But he understood something. And those insults, it was his faith, it was his understanding of this bigger view that he wasn't of this world. And the people that were insulting him were of this world. And he said, that's like currency in my pocket. The insults he saw as riches. He saw that the affliction that he would go through, the insults, the pain, the view that people had for him, he saw that as a riches, as riches. He saw that as spiritual gain. How could he see it like that? He must have known something about laying up treasures in heaven and not on earth. Somehow his faith was able to get him to understand that when he was attacked because of his choices not to choose the things of the world, that somehow that would make him wealthy in spiritual things. That would make him wealthy in God's kingdom. And here's the answer to understanding that. For he looked for the reward. You see that? That's the mic drop. His faith told him, helped him to understand that this world ain't it. And he understood that if by faith what he did in this world as he honored God would accumulate for him spiritual riches. His faith gave him a better perspective. It put this world in perspective to eternity, to eternal things. And so he was able to make these choices, which one might think are foolish, but he was able to make these choices because he was seeing the reality of things, the way things really are. If we don't have faith, we don't see things the way they really are. We just see shadows. If we don't have faith, we are preoccupied with the material things and the things of this world. But when we have faith, this world is put into perspective of eternity. And so we always have to look at this world in light of eternity. And that's why Moses was able to make those decisions that he did. He looked for his reward. In verse 27, it says, by faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. And so there it is. Those in verse 26 and 27, 26, he looked for his reward. 27, seeing him who is invisible. So that means he saw him, like you. If you're a believer, you don't see Jesus with your eyes, but with your faith you see him. It's different. Faith is a spiritual sense, like seeing. But you think about, you know, like coming here tonight. If you didn't see Jesus above and beyond the things of the world, there would be no reason for you to be here tonight. Because you came here, I came here, because by faith, I knew Jesus would be here. By faith, I knew, and I know every time, that God is going to meet us here. By faith, I know, just as we gather together and have his word and worship him in spirit and in truth, I know that he's going to powerfully work in our midst. So by faith, I know that's where why I come. And so by faith, we have a value system that's different than the world. By faith, we value this. We value the gathering of the saints together. We value the word of God. We value the truth. We value the opportunity to worship the Lord. We place such a high value on it that we arrange our life around it. But without faith, we would not deem this as anything. Without faith, we would have a list of things that we might put in place of worshiping the Lord corporately together that are more important to us. But see, by faith, we know we come with anticipation and excitement, and we know that God is going to meet us here. Seeing him who is invisible. Verse 28, by faith, Moses kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn, Pharaoh, should touch them. So as we see Moses' life developing, we see that he had a life where he was seeking and praying and looking for God's will. And because he did that, it saved his life. And because he did that, it saved his whole nation's life. Because what he's talking about, of course, is God telling him to apply the blood of a sacrifice animal upon his doorposts. And if he did that, the death angel would fly over them and not kill them. And everybody who did not have the blood applied would be killed. What a beautiful picture of salvation. And that is a picture of salvation. That's why that's there, the Passover. Jesus is the Passover lamb. And so in the Old Testament, that's a picture. The Passover is a picture of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, the sacrifice of a lamb applied to one's life that death flies over. The application of the blood is salvation. But again, we see he had a choice. And that's what we're seeing all through this chapter. We're seeing faith is exercising a choice to choose God. In all these examples, he could have said, no, I don't want to do that. This is like people who reject Jesus for salvation. I don't need that. There's no way the death angel is going to harm me because I'm a good person. Even though God said, do this and you'll live. It's the same with salvation now. By faith, put your faith in Jesus Christ and be saved. In Christ and Christ alone and be saved. Faith and faith alone and you'll be saved. That's what the Bible says. But many people will say, you know, I don't want to do that. I got something else going on. I'm a good person. I do enough good things for God to accept me. But that's not what the Bible says. That's the point. The point is, God said to Moses, hey, Moses, you better put that blood on your doorpost because here's what's going to happen. The death angel is going to fly over. If he told Moses that's going to happen, what do you think is going to happen? The death angel is going to fly over. So he had a choice to believe that or not. Nah, that'll never happen. Nah, I'll never have to deal with that. There's no way. Hey, God said it's going to happen. That's like his word. We have an advantage in many ways because we can look at his word historically and see that he has fulfilled every single thing that he has said to a T. We have a precedent. We have an example of that. So Moses said, you know what? God said this, and I'm living by faith. And it's been tough, but every time I've lived by faith that God has done a work, he spared my life, he's using me to save my nation. And so he's going to exercise his faith, and he's going to say, I'm going to do that. God, you said to do that, so I'm going to do that. But I want you to see and understand how simple faith is. And there are many times and many occasions where you and I will pray for things like revival or God to pour out his spirit and all these things. But yet we can't even do the simplest things of walking by faith. Just the simplest things. But we want a huge revival. You know how revival comes? It's by people walking by faith. That's a revival. So you just take those simple steps of faith. They're simple. They might be hard, and they are hard, but they're simple. And as we take those steps of faith, then God meets those steps with exponential power. When we take one step of faith, exponential power will come upon us. And we see Moses, he just took God at his word and he did it. That's what walking by faith is. And it does seem like, if I could be honest and share my heart, in a lot of Christian circles today, there's this desire for the sensational and the supernatural in place of obedience, in place of just doing the simple things, the very plain things that are in the Word. Well, we want this sensational, fireworks, grandiose thing. And I want to tell you, when you step out in faith and take those steps of obedience, that'll happen in your heart. You have this explosion of the power of God working in your heart and God doing things in your heart that you never thought was possible. And then he'll begin to do them outside of you too. But if you can't walk in faith, nothing's going to happen. If you can't take the simple steps of faith, nothing's going to happen. How do I know that? We have a lot of examples. The children of Israel, they did not go into the promised land. Why? They didn't have faith. How did they spend their 40 years? Doing nothing. Going around in circles. And dying out. They could have been in the land flowing with milk and honey, but instead they said, no, we're not going to live by faith. And so we're going to stay here. So that's an incredible precedent of what it looks like to not walk by faith. So in verse 29, by faith, they passed through the Red Sea, as by the dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so, they were drowned. Have you ever just thought about what that must have been like? Moses, you know, being raised up as a deliverer for the children of Israel in Egypt. They just had, you know, they were slaves in Egypt, so they didn't like really have any fighting abilities or money or resources or anything. They just left. They just left. And when they left out of obedience. They were following Moses. Moses was listening to God. And they just left. They had the opportunity to leave. And as they leave, they get to their first test of faith. The Red Sea. No way they could get across the Red Sea. So what do you do in a situation like that? I guess we can go back and be slaves again. So one side, you have the Egyptian army. On the other side, you have the Red Sea. Some of us know what it feels like to be in a place where it feels like you're stuck between a rock and a hard place, as people like to say. What do I do? See, God will often put us in these positions because he wants to show us how he works. This is what he wanted to do with the children of Israel. He wanted to show them how he works. This would be something that they would need to know moving forward. They would need to know it's not their resources, their abilities, but it's about what God can do. And so as they get to this place, we know the story. The Red Sea parted. They went through, the Egyptians were swallowed up. But it was by faith that they did that. They trusted the Lord. And you can imagine the intense pressure that they were in the beginning of their journey that God was taking them on, that right in the beginning, it looked like there was no way out. And God puts us there because he wants to do something in those situations to demonstrate to us that we can trust him. And that he has resources beyond what we can see and what we understand and what we know. His provisions will be provided when they are needed every single time. That's Moses. Well, what else happened? Look at verse 30. So as they made it through the Red Sea, they go into the wilderness. That's a whole other thing. And then they get to the promised land. First generation dies out, no faith. Second generation, Joshua says, okay, now we can go in. Joshua chapter 1, be strong and courageous. So their very first obstacle, the walls of Jericho. That was the most fortified city in the promised land. It was the first one that they're going to go up against. So now, mind you, they don't have weapons, they don't have animals, They don't have food, but they have God. They come across this fortified city, Jericho. Some of you have been there. And now is there another test? A test of what? Faith. It says, the walls of Jericho, by faith, they fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. So God's like, trust me, I have a plan. The city of Jericho, fortified walls, fortified city, just walk around it 7 times. Do you see that God is just demonstrating, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. In other words, God asks us to step out in faith, and they're not even actually fighting. Right? They're not like, you know, having cannons shot at the walls and, you know, things catapulted in and broken. They're just, hey, just God's telling them just to walk around the city 7 times. He's saying that because He wants to include them in what He's doing, but He also wants them to understand it's Him who's doing that. You see the partnership? We step out in faith and God does it. So walk around 7 times, the walls are going to fall down, and you're going to conquer the city. That's it. That's the plan? That's it? That's the plan? Yeah, that's it. That's the plan. But it worked, didn't it? So then in verse 31, it says, by faith, the harlot or prostitute Rahab, she did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. So 2 spies of the nation of Israel, they go in to Jericho and they meet with Rahab and they said, hey, this is what's going to happen. And she believed them. And she hid them. She took care of them. And the spies said, hey, when we come in and start marching around, put a scarlet cord down to identify your house, and we'll make sure you're safe. But think about what she had to do to believe them, to believe the God that was working in them and through them. To go against those who said, hey, where are those spies that came out? And she would say, I don't know. Hiding them. Tricking them. At the risk of her own life. That took faith. It took faith to do that. In verse 12, he goes on, or 32, he says, and what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and the prophets. So all those being mentioned were those who struggled with their faith. Gideon, as you recall, his nation was being judged, and God was using the Midianites to judge them, this really mean people. And the Midianites, they would go into the area where the Jews were, and they'd mess up all their crops. So they couldn't plant anything. They couldn't feed their animals. And then an angel of the Lord comes to Gideon. And the angel of the Lord says, mighty man of valor, Gideon. And Gideon's like, I'm the weakest guy in the weakest tribe. You're calling me the mighty man of valor? The weakest guy in the weakest tribe. He said, yeah. Because he was being called by God to deliver his nation from the Midianites. And he struggled with that. And he said, hey, are you sure about this? If you're sure about this, can we do a little test and a little experiment? I want to make sure that you're right. I'm going to put a little bit of wool or fleece. I'm going to put it out. And if it's you, Lord, make it wet on the fleece and dry on the ground. And the Lord said, okay. So the next day he goes and the fleece was wet. He squeezes it out and all this water comes out. The ground was dry. So there he had it. He's good, right? Not quite good yet. He said, Lord, if you will bear with me one more time, can I try it just one more time? And God's gracious, right? And that's where we get the saying, you know, put a fleece out. That's where we get that saying. So he said, this time, can you make it wet on the ground and dry on the fleece? God said, okay. The next morning comes up, wet on the ground, dry in the fleece. So he had to have confidence in the Lord, that it was the Lord for him to move forward. And then God is so good. He gives him another way to build his confidence. He said, okay, now go into the camp of the Midianites at night so they don't see you. And just listen outside of the tent of these Midianites. And so he goes down, he sneaks down there. And there are so many Midianites that look like locusts covering the ground, the Bible says. And he goes down and he hears a story in the tent of these Midianites. And one of the guys said, hey, I had a dream that there was a loaf of bread that rolled down the hill and it knocked our tent over. What do you think that means? I think that means Gideon is going to come with his men and conquer us. Oh. So then that gave him the confidence that he needed. So the next morning, God says, here's the plan. Remember before you just walked around in circles and you conquered Jericho like that? This one's going to be a little different. So this time, you just want to get an empty pitcher and put it on a stick, like a torch, and then light the torch on fire. Have all your people do that. And by the way, you remember, God didn't want them to have too many people. There's 135,000 Midianites. They started off with 32,000 children of Israel, got down to 300 because God wanted the glory. So 300 against 132,000. And God said, just get those little torches, light them on fire, and just have your guys blow a trumpet and then break the glass on the pitcher around the fire, and that's all you're going to need to do. So they did that. And then the Midianites started attacking each other, and they ended up winning. But see, the point is with Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, they're all those who struggled with their faith and yet overcame by their faith. It wasn't as if their faith was so easy. Like us, they struggled with it and they didn't have confidence. But when they stepped out in faith, God met them in their faith. And then in verse 33, it says, who through faith they subdued kingdoms. They worked righteousness. They obtained promises. They stopped the mouths of lions. They quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness, they were made strong. They become valiant in battle and turn to flight the armies of the aliens. So think about that. These are all things that they're positively doing, if you want to look at it like that. Like by their faith, they're doing amazing things, overcoming amazing obstacles and doing amazing things. But look in verse 35. It says, the women received their dead, raised to life again. But then it changes. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonments. They were stoned. They were sawn in two, which legend has it that Isaiah was that person that was sawn in two. They were tempted. They were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins and destitute and afflicted and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And all of these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promises. Their faith apprehended the promise. But yet the promise was still far off in Christ and the kingdom of God. But yet their faith is what apprehended the eternal, apprehended the glory, apprehended all that God had for them. Their faith was able to touch that, to reach that. Verse 40, God having provided something better for us. So he's talking about people that came after them, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Speaking of how was the time of the Messiah that came, then the fullness of our relationship with God through the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, his death and his resurrection, would bring all of this together in one. But whether you want to look at Genesis 1 or Revelation 21, it's all by faith. That is the key. And if there's one thing that we can really get a hold of and know that we need as we go tonight, is to remember how important our faith is. It's so important where Peter said that if needed, God will test it. So it could be valuable. The faith that's valuable is a faith that steps out and trusts God. And that faith ends up being a faith like Hebrews chapter 11. So may we be a people of faith that walk by faith, step out in faith, trusting in God, and then watching God work through our faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word tonight. I thank you for my brothers and sisters here. I pray that you'd bless them, Lord, and stir up our hearts, Lord, to where we may have been lagging behind or getting comfortable or getting into routine. I pray, Lord, that we would just pray that you'd command us to step out of the boat, to do something beyond what is natural for us to do. Let us be a people who step out in faith and walk by faith, and watch you work according to our faith. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, God bless you guys. Have a great night. And Lord willing, we'll see you on Sunday.